This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. Hans D asked me yesterday, should he come in? I'm like, we don't like you, but you can if you want. And he hasn't. So, I don't think Hans likes us either, to be honest with you.
Social distancing.
You know what stinks?
Recommended.
We were supposed to be at Pia's right now doing our St. Paddy's Day show. First of all, it was going to be a bracket show at Pia's. Then it was just going to be a St. Paddy's Day
green beer
at Pia's where Trevor was making me say, oh, or talk some, I don't know how to speak Irish.
Yeah.
That accent or whatever it is. Oi.
No.
Mate?
No.
That's like Australian.
No, no, no.
I cannot do Irish. So, but I tried in the commercial and it was so bad. So we apologize that we're not at Pia's because I was looking forward to getting out and seeing everybody. But it's probably the right thing, obviously, not to be doing that.
I'm depressed today.
And Pia's wouldn't be open. I know. Well, but they're probably curbside because they sell food. They got excellent food.
Yeah.
Once again, support local businesses. If you've got the means to do it at least one time this week and help somebody out. All right, Trevor, I'm muting you, and we're going to get to Kevin Wheeler down at St. Louis, MLB radio, Network Radio. He does a lot of different things. Mad Dog Radio, he fills in. Now at KMOX, back at KMOX. Kevin, fill us in, buddy. How are you, my man?
I'm pretty good. Should I
say,
for the afternoons
of
your life? That's
okay.
I have a little St. Paddy's Day fun, you know?
See? Oh, no. You know what? We're going to have to call Kevin back. Trevor, can you do that, please? I'm sorry. He's going to be like, oh, I bet he's saying something great right now, too. And
gotta be.
And he is.
In a better accent than, I'm sorry.
Than me. I don't even know how to do it. What did he say? How did he say it?
I don't want to try to do it because I'm not going to, shouldn't even say anything.
How can I not do an Irish accent. Yeah. I guess I've never tried in my life, so I guess that's why I've never done it. I do want to ask Trevor before the day's out. I want to get real with him about being a college student and not getting a chance to spend your senior year. Now you can still see your friends, I guess, if you want to take that risk.
Those that are here.
But not be able, right, if they're here and not be able to graduate. Okay, Kevin Wheeler, sorry you cut out on us, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you boys doing?
We are good. It's Kevin. I know this is everybody's going through this, and it's crazy to say, man, is this the weirdest? Yeah, it's the weirdest. But as a sports guy and a sports junkie, how strange is this for you right now to have zero sports to watch?
Really? I mean, the only thing that even compares, Lon, in our lifetimes was right after 9/11, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, we had a handful of days and maybe a week where you didn't have anything going on. But this is obviously going to be a lot longer, and knowing that fact is a little strange. I'm not going to lie there. That's the crazy part is it's we're looking at months without any kind of game action.
And, you know, every year I remember doing our sports show. I've been doing this now 10 years. And every year, and even when I worked in TV for 10 years, it was the day of the All-Star. You know, the All-Star break hit. Now when the ESPYs, that's like one day there's no sports. And I used to panic. And now, like you said, we're looking. Guys like you and I and Derek and Trevor, we're doing this for a living. and we're looking at months maybe of not what to talk about. How much have you thought about what you're going to talk about? I know we visited with Steve Greenberg. I think you know probably Steve from the Chicago Tribune. We talked to him yesterday about, you know, what are some of the plans that the Tribune has? What are some of the plans that Kevin Wheeler has with kind of this moratorium that is on sports?
Well, you know, some of it, because I'm bouncing around to different stations the way things are right now, if I'm doing something on Mad Dog Radio, which I did this past Sunday, and I'm supposed to be doing this coming Sunday too, well, that's going to be NFL. I mean, that's where the big news is. That's where all the action is. You know, next time I'm on MLB Network Radio, it's going to have to be one of two things, right? It's going to be something historically, you know, historical perspective on something, you know, greatest things you've seen, or it's going to be continued kind of look ahead to 2020, because we can still do preview stuff because that's still accurate. It's just a matter of whether or not it gets too repetitive the more you do that. On KMOX tonight, I'm doing news, man. I did 4 hours of coronavirus coverage last night, and, you know, tonight we'll probably do that combined with the Illinois primary. So I guess, you know, and that's because it's not a news program. But if I were doing Sports Open Line, I'd be doing a lot like my buddy Chris Raby's been doing. You know, you're doing some general kind of stuff, like what are you doing with your time, you know, while you're out?
Sure.
You know, you got all this time at home. You're telling stories. You know, ideally, you do a lot of interviews, really. I mean, you know, the kind of stuff that you and I are doing now, Lon, is really the way to go. Cause the best thing to do is just bring in as many voices as you can and tell stories and talk about, you know, not what you're missing necessarily, but what keeps you coming back.
And you know what's funny, Kevin, is that could be almost looked at as being lazy, but I don't think it is, because I love, and I said the Tribune, that's my fault. It was the Chicago Sun-Times, Steve Greenberg, but I loved getting his perspective in a city like Chicago, you know, the third largest city in the country. What, you know, you don't have sports. And then getting your perspective in a crazy town like St. Louis that loves, I mean, look what they were already doing with the XFL and the crowds down there. I don't think it's lazy to get a guy like Kevin Wheeler on to talk about that, because I love getting different perspectives from professionals in the field about how they're looking at what is going on in the world right now.
No doubt. And, you know, a lot of the cues that I'm going to take moving forward, Lon, are going to be, you know, related to the things that I'm seeing on social media, too. What are people talking about?
Good call.
You know, I mean, like, you know, because nobody's really stopped living. You just don't have games. So we're filling that time with something. You know, if you're me, well, right now I'm filling some of that by doing news talk on the radio. But, you know, the downtime at home, I'm playing video games. I'm rewatching old movies that I haven't seen, you know, some of my favorite movies that I haven't seen in a while. I watched the extended cut of Gladiator for the first time in about 3 years yesterday. you know, I went back and watched a couple other old movies that I hadn't seen in a while. And I think, you know, that's exactly what we're going to be doing for a while, and that's what we can talk about, right? I mean, if you're supposedly a sports talk show, but there are no sports, you got to talk about something.
Amen.
Lon brought up a good point there with the XFL in St. Louis. It looked like that fan base had really bought in as far as the turnout they had gotten in the first couple of games. What did you see there from the St. Louis side with the XFL, and do you think that this curbs some momentum and hurts them in any way by stopping the season?
I mean, I don't think, you know, I think any league that's brand new gets hurt when they lose eyeballs, right? I mean, and then, you know, they won't come back until next year, which is the smart way to go, because when everything comes back, they would be so secondary to the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball all coming back that, you know, they would lose eyeballs anyway. So I do think that that's a dangerous time for a fledgling league to lose eyeballs in your first shot. But, you know, they did make some positive impressions, and they were obviously very popular here. And, you know, a couple of the thoughts I had on the way St. Louis received this was pretty obvious. But one, it was a great big middle finger to the NFL. I mean, it was a way to basically say, yeah, all those lies told by Kroenke and all the BS that got spun by a lot of the national football reporters out there about how it's a baseball town. No, it's not. It's a sports town. If you take the time to care about your fan base, they'll care back for you. And, you know, the Rams and Stan Kroenke toward the last handful of years just didn't care. And that showed. And, you know, when you, and even with that, your crowds are 60% capacity with one of the worst franchise runs in modern sports history. So, you know, I think that, you know, there's clearly a desire to send a message to people with that. Beyond that, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be like a lifelong love affair where it's going to last, or if it was simply, hey, we want to show you, and you know, maybe we get kind of tired or bored of it, or if the team is bad next year, we maybe lose a little bit of our passion for that too.
Talking to Kevin Wheeler, MLB Network Radio, KMOX. Follow him on Twitter, at KevinWheeler94. Kevin, we love talking baseball with you. There's no baseball to be played. Waino even said after a good outing, I don't really know where I'm going to go. What are the players doing, those that – I know that those that are down in the Jupiter area can stay and work out a little bit at the facilities, but where do these players go to stay in shape, and what do you think that they're doing right now as they wait this thing out?
I think what they're doing, especially because this was looking like a long-term run, right? I mean, MLB talked about it yesterday. They're going to follow that 8-week guideline that the government has put out as far as how long they need to stay away from having crowds. And so they know that this is really more like an extended off-season. So my guess is a lot of those guys are going right back into their off-season routines when it comes to workouts and batting practice and their throwing programs. Because you don't want to be going full speed right now for the next 2 months. You certainly don't want to be in late spring training mode for 2 months on end.
Right.
So they're probably going to end up pressing a little bit of a restart button and get back to the off-season routine and see if they can't maybe build on maybe a little bit more intensity than that. But you can't keep going too intense. Otherwise, you're gonna be burned out by the time you get to whenever the season starts.
I was thinking today, Kevin, like a guy like Adam Wainwright, Derek brought Waino up. You know, he's a guy that last year kind of found the fountain of youth, and we thought, all right, let's bring him back one more year. Now, there's a chance we won't even have baseball, and I hope we do. My goodness, I don't know what I'll do without it. But, you know, with a guy like that, if you started the season, almost like Roger Clemens became kind of that guy. Remember back in the day, he would kind of just sign halfway through the year and be that guy for the Houston Astros. I mean, do you think maybe this prolongs and gives even Waino one more year? Or for some veterans like that, that maybe they can take this time where there's not a lot of wear and tear, especially on a pitcher, and even get another year out of him?
Yeah, it might. It's hard to say for sure. I mean, you know, every season that you put less wear and tear on your arm is probably better. But then you combine that with, you know, the fact that by next year, Waino's going to be 38 years old. I mean, I don't know how the sliding scale works between the natural aging of your body and the workload that you're asking of it. But I would say that from a longevity standpoint, it's certainly not going to hurt you.
Right.
To use the cliche and save those bullets.
Kevin Wheeler's our guest. All right, Kevin, in your best professional opinion, if baseball is able to come back for June 1st, let's say, let's just put that date as the date that all of a sudden we've got baseball, and wow, glorious that'll be. I'll play Gloria again for that one. What do you think baseball does? They'll have to shrink the schedule, I would assume. How do you think they'll do that? I know you don't know that, but how do you think they'll do it?
Well, I mean, what would make the most sense is just kind of calculate how many games you would normally have remaining from June 1st on, and try to make that the schedule, right? I mean, you're not going to be able to make up too much of what went on before. You might be able to negotiate with the union to loosen some of the restrictions on, you know, amount of games played in a row and all of that. But if you're going to play 4 months, I mean, you're going to get 120 games in, 110, 120 games in. So I think that what they'll end up doing is just kind of whatever percentage is left of the season is what they do. And maybe they alter the schedule, too. I think what you might have to do, especially with what we're looking at with June, maybe July, you might have to get rid of interleague play.
Right.
Introduce more division play so that you can have better divisional races and somehow, you know, alter the way you put your schedule together, not just the length of it, but kind of the composition of it, because you can't just say, well, we missed April and May, so we'll just pick up with a schedule on June 1st, because you're going to have unfair schedules then.
Sure.
You know, a team might have the Dodgers 8 times in the first 2 months and not at all after that, and another team wasn't going to have them at all, but have them in August and September. You know, you don't want it to be unbalanced. You'd like it to be as fair as possible. So I think you take the number and try to fit your scheduling pattern around that.
Kevin, we love going MLB heavy with you. I know that you know a variety of sports. You mentioned the NFL. We're all sitting here saying, stay hot, NFL. giving us something to talk about. What do you make of Tom Brady going to potentially Tampa and Phillip Rivers to Indy? I know we see it in baseball. We see it in the NBA, especially as far as stars moving around. Quarterbacks don't typically do that. So what do you make of the news coming out today on those two?
I think it's fascinating, man. For those of us that have been around long enough, it feels a little bit like Joe Montana going to play for the Chiefs, although we got probably a better example recently with Peyton Manning going to the Broncos. It's a little weird, you know, when guys have spent as long as these guys have with one team. And, you know, with Tom Brady, I don't know that there's ever been a guy that won that much that ever moved on to another team. And, I mean, there's nobody that's ever won that many Super Bowls as a quarterback. So it's going to be unique. But I actually love that choice of Tampa Bay for him. I mean, he's going into a spot where they have 2,000-yard receivers from last year that are explosive playmakers in Evans and Godwin.
Yep.
They have two athletic tight ends that they can go to. You know, the guy they've never really tapped into the potential on yet in O.J. Howard, plus Cameron Brate's really good. You've got a really good offensive-minded coach there in Bruce Arians. And, from the personal perspective for Brady, there's no state income tax there. So, you know, there's another good reason to choose a team in the state of Florida. So I actually think that's a fascinating fit. From what I saw of Phillip Rivers last year, I don't know that I'd be all that thrilled about bringing him in, to be honest with you. I think he's fine, and he's certainly better than what they had in Indy last year in Jacoby Brissett. But I'm a little less sold on what Rivers brings to the table going into 2020 and a little bit more on Brady. Because when you look at the weapons that Brady had last year, that was arguably the weakest group of players he's had around him in the last 15, 20 years.
Lon's still dancing around here because DeAndre Hopkins is going to Arizona. Which don't totally blame him.
How about that?
Wow. Yeah. That made my day.
What is going on with Houston, man? Somebody's got to check with Bill O'Brien to see, do a wellness check on Bill O'Brien, because they just got rid of Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins in two straight deals, and they didn't get a first-round pick for either one of those guys. That's insanity.
It really is. And, you know, the thing that blows my mind is Arizona, you know, gives up David Johnson, who they were going to have to pay him a lot of money to essentially be their second-best running back, or even third. Chase Edmonds showed a lot last year. And then you've got a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who, you know, the rumor is that he and Bill didn't see eye to eye on some things. You know what makes me comfortable going to Arizona is you got a guy like Larry Fitzgerald there that's going to look at DeAndre Hopkins if he gets sideways one time and say, that's not how we do it here. And I think that's the amazing thing, is that Arizona is going to transition now after having an unbelievable stud in Larry Fitzgerald for the last 15 years. Now they're eventually going to transition to a guy like DeAndre Hopkins who could carry that torch another five or six. I mean, it's incredible what Arizona was able to do.
That was an amazing deal. And you know, it's what's even crazier when you look at the deals, not only that Houston has made these moves. And by the way, if the coach is having problems with star players to the point where you got to keep getting rid of people, maybe the coach is the problem.
Great point.
As opposed to the players being the problem. I mean, what's more valuable, star players like that or a guy that's basically been an eight, nine win guy for the entire time he's been there? And by the way, also having blown big playoff games and missed out on division titles for ridiculous reasons. I mean, I'm not sure that that's the guy that I'd be banking on. I'd be banking on the star players, but obviously, O'Brien's got the control there. And what's even more amazing, guys, is that, like, Minnesota got more for Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
And they didn't take the cap hit. I mean, that's the thing with David Johnson. He's a $10 million cap hit this year, and he was not even in their main rotation at the end of last year.
Right.
Like, he's fallen off completely the last 2 years. I don't understand why you'd want to take the cap hit and take that player on when you could get a running back in the third round that'd be better than that.
Mm. I lived a lot of crap years as a St. Louis Cardinal and Arizona Cardinal fan and a Phoenix Cardinal fan.
Yeah.
And we deserve this, Kevin.
Well, you know, it's funny. Going back to the fall, one of the things I did for a while, and I did about 3 weeks of afternoon drive in Phoenix on the Fox Sports affiliate there, and this was right at the beginning of football season, and you know, in talking to the people there a lot, doing that show and covering the Cardinals for a few weeks, it's looking pretty good right now. If they can fix that offensive line, you've got one of the most gifted young quarterbacks in the game, who doesn't worry about big moments, who clearly has the poise and the ability and the arm to be a great quarterback. And now you give him a long-term big play guy in Hopkins to go with the stability of Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, that's fantastic, man. I mean, that's a good way to go. I think that's a legit playoff contender next year.
Amen. You and the Cardinals fans deserve it. I'm not sure what the Bears fans and I deserve. It's hopefully not Mitch Trubisky.
You missed out on Teddy Bridgewater, and you know, maybe you still trade for Nick Foles and you go that route. But yeah, that's obviously not ideal.
Cam Newton, any interest? Cam Newton, would you bite at that?
Ooh.
Why not? I mean, look, I wasn't sold on Mitchell Trubisky the day that he was drafted. I thought that was a ridiculous move to go up to go get him. I thought he was fine in college, but I mean, if you're not going to start until you're a senior year in college at a place like North Carolina, we're not talking about a guy stuck behind studs at Bama or Clemson or something along those lines. You know, I have my concerns about a guy that didn't start that much and at a place where he should have had playing time earlier. If you're that kind of a draft pick, there's just something missing there. And, you know, I would definitely take that shot on Cam Newton. You know who makes a lot of sense for Cam Newton, too, would be the Chargers. If you're looking to have a little bit more fun and keep yourself competitive in the L.A. marketplace, might not be a bad guy to look at to move on from Phillip Rivers either.
Last one, Kevin. I know we're biding your time as you drive down to KMOX. The Blues. Obviously, you couldn't have had a better season last year the way it finished. They finally hoist Lord Stanley, and now they're leading the division, and then this happens where the season is done. We don't talk at all NHL. Even when they're winning, we don't talk much NHL, and especially now with it being non-existent. What do you think will happen? I guess it's like everything else. We're just wait and see. Do you hold any hope that they'll still try to get playoffs played this season?
Boy, I don't know, man. The NBA and the NHL are in a really, really tight spot.
They
because
are.
You know, if you're looking at like this eight-week period as a minimum to get things fired back up, I mean, you're talking about, you know, as we've been talking about baseball, maybe beginning of June. Well, the NBA Finals usually end in the middle of June. The Stanley Cup Finals are in June. So I don't know what the level of optimism is there, but I tell you this, if it's at all possible, they'll at least try to get their playoffs in. And maybe have, you know, the seasons, if they have to, extend into July and maybe even August. Number one, there's a lot of revenue lost if you don't do that. And they'll have a lot of interest in making back some of what they're going to lose over these next 2 months anyway. So I would say that if things go well and people follow instructions and we can all flatten that curve as everybody's telling us to,
sure.
I think both of those leagues will try to at least get the playoffs in. And just, you know, if they have to, you fall back on the standings as to where they are right now, and you go from there.
Kevin Wheeler is the ultimate professional, and I'm so excited to get your take on just life in general right now and what's going on, because it's crazy times, and we always appreciate hearing from you. I'd rather be breaking down Wayno's curveball, but at this time, we don't have much of a chance. So, Kevin, really, honestly, thank you so much for this today. Have fun tonight. And hopefully soon we'll be talking sports again. Let's please, hopefully soon.
Yeah, right there with you, man. I'm looking forward to it. And you guys be safe, wash your hands, and, you know, keep your distance, man. No more hugging strangers, Lon.
Dang it, I love doing that, too. All right, buddy. Kevin, thank you.
We'll see you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin Wheeler. He's going to do a little news tonight for KMOX, but that is how professional Kevin Wheeler is. I think in a weird way, if you would have come to me, especially when I was in TV, if you would have come to me 3 years or 7 years ago, 3 years into doing what then would have been Tay and Jay, if Stevie would have come to me and said, all right, I need you to talk news next week. I need you to talk about the Illinois primaries, or I need you to talk about, you know, this or that. I would have been like, Stevie, that's not why I'm here. But, you know, now I think I could do that. I think I wouldn't mind doing that, especially with an event as big as this COVID-19. I mean, it, like Kevin said, with 9/11, I could have easily talked about that for
sure.
A couple of weeks. But
you're a pro.
Yeah, what the heck, right? I don't know, though. Not like Kevin. But it's just, it's a weird time. It really is a weird time. And I just every day it hits me even, it hits me a little bit more every day. And even talking to Kevin Wheeler there about how we used to panic. And I can always remember this. We used to panic when we would have a three-hour radio show, and it was the one day that the ESPYs were on, and there was no other sporting event. It's the only day in the entire calendar that you have no sporting event. And we used to think, what are we going to talk about? For one day, we used to think that. And now, we are sitting here, the three of us, and then Jeremy and Austin in the morning, sitting there saying, what are we going to talk about for possibly 2 months?
Yeah, I know a decade ago, it was these 2 days were tough, or really Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before they introduced the first four, when they went 64-68 in the tournament. You didn't have any games.
It's true.
From the selection Sunday until that Thursday, and there was just anticipation and really nothing really on TV to watch. Mm-mm. NBA, probably.
Yeah.
But there would have been two basketball games tonight for the tournament. And now, and spring training, I was flipping on spring training every lunch, every time I had lunch, going to MLB Network, there was a game on, unless it was the Cubs, and it says, this is blacked out, and you don't have this network.
Right.
I was like, okay.
Maybe they'll get that figured out. They got hopefully a little extra time to figure that out. But you're right, and now we're just looking at it like, what are we going to do? But you know what? We have some good thoughts. We have some good ideas. And again, I love getting perspective from like a Kevin Wheeler, who's been around the business a long time and is one of the best to do it. And Steve Greenberg, who's been around with the Chicago Sun-Times now, but he's been a national writer, journalist. So it's kind of cool to get their perspective on how they're looking at this crisis. And also, we call it a crisis in sports. Obviously, it's much bigger than that. But for us, that's what we do best. That's what we love more than anything outside of your family, kids, et cetera. We understand that. Then it is a crisis to us not having sports. And it's weird. I mean, today was what, day five without sports? Is that right? I think it's day five.
Okay.
And we're sitting here thinking.
And it was Thursday of last week.
Okay.
They canceled the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
And there were everything else in college basketball.
I think
NBA
Wednesday,
at that point was suspended.
Yeah. And I think Wednesday night is when the Blues were on. The Blues played a hockey game. And I remember tweeting out, I said, well, I'm going to sit down and watch the rest of this Blues game because it's probably going to be the last sporting event I'm going to watch for. Maybe until the end of summer.
Yeah, I think Cardinals spring training was Thursday afternoon.
That's right, because Waino
threw that game on Thursday, and that was it.
That was it. That. I wish I would have recorded that game. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. It's an interesting time, and we'll keep doing what we do.
We do have a lot of people who are having some free time to talk.
Yeah. Hey, you set up a cool thing today that's going to be on Friday.
Derek Burson, SID for Illini Basketball, is set up with us for Friday.
I can't wait for this.
Able to ask him about the season, obviously, the way it came to an end, but just he's been around a lot of teams, a lot of programs, and just going to ask really anything about what he does and all the inside stories that he gets being around those coaches and players when we don't get to be.
A sports information director at a Division I program, you have no idea. You don't want to know how many hours they work. And they're not always the favorite person in the room because Derek Piper wants to interview this guy. Jeremy Warner wants to interview this guy.
And when DeMonte Williams doesn't want to talk to any of the reporters, Derek has to be the one to come back and say, yeah.
He's got
to
go tell him.
He's getting taped
for
3 hours today.
He's got to go to Brad Underwood and Lovie Smith. And, you know, Brad, I think, is pretty, he's pretty easy, right? Lovie doesn't like talking. Let's be honest. If he does, then he does a great job of hiding that. But, you know, sometimes you got to go to him and say, hey, coach, I know you don't want to do this, but it's in your contract. You got to do it. And think about after a tough loss, the first guy a lot of times that talks to a coach is a guy like Derek Burson.
Sure.
That has to say, hey, coach, we need you over here. You got to do this interview. And, you know, he's setting up so many things. And I can't wait. I know. And, you know, another guy that's perfect for that is Kent Brown, but we have Kent on quite a bit, and he's wonderful. But I thought, you know, Derek does a great job with that program, and he's been around here longer than you think. I'm not calling him old. I'm not calling you old, Derek, But he's been around here longer than you think, you know, so it'll be fun to get his perspective, right? I think he was here when I was still on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, he was working behind, I think, behind Kent Brown or maybe even Dave Johnson back then. But, yeah, it'll be fun to visit with him. And then Thursday, we're getting
James Herring.
James Herring.
Director of basketball operations for Dayton.
Dayton. It's going to be awesome.
Would have been one seed Dayton.
Oh. That's just, I hear that. All right, listen, when we come back, you, for the Illini Inquirer, Ding, you played out the season for the Fighting Illini basketball team. And I want to go game by game, and I'm going to ask you questions about that game. So you're going to have to really come up with things. I'm going to have to really come up with things. But I'm going to treat this.
I want to see your guys' thoughts, too.
Yeah, I'm going to treat this like a live case scenario.
Okay.
And we'll start with the Big Ten. What happened at the Big Ten tournament? Because you had them going on a nice run in Indy. And then we'll get to the NCAA. And I'm going to just act like I'm asking you after a regular game like Derek, you know, last night Kofi dominated. What was the key in that game? We're going to do a little role playing here to not only eat up some time, but also I want to know, and everybody wants to know, what did Derek Piper have Illinois? How far did Pipes have Illinois going in the NCAA tournament? We will discuss that next. Trevor will be a part of that. I've got to do some business right now if I can find. Yes! Busey time. Hey, as you file your tax return, Busey wants you to be aware of identity thieves who could be scheming to steal your refund. Tax identity theft has been one of the most common forms of identity theft the past 6 years. I got to get my taxes done. Especially before they say, guess what, you got to stay at home for the next 2 weeks. Are they going to give us an extension? I would hope. In observance of Tax Identity Theft Awareness Week, that was back in January, but it's still prudent. Busey's experts, they provide steps to protect yourself in tax season. File early? Well, you haven't exactly filed early if you're still like me waiting to do them. Secure your Wi-Fi connection when you do this if you're doing it on your own. Shred sensitive documents. Lock away secure documents. Secure your tax return by mailing it at a post office or a mailbox. Watch it go in the mailbox so you know nobody's going to grab it and steal anything from you. Remember, the best way to protect yourself from fraud is to be proactive. Busey wants you to be informed of any security issues, scams, or alerts that may compromise your personal or financial information. Visit the Information Security Center on Busey.com or call them 1-800-67-BUSEY. Busey, member FDIC.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Bad hair day? Bad day at the office? Bad day behind the wheel? Hey, stuff happens, even to the best of us. At least your car insurance rate doesn't have to take a hit. Get Erie Rate Lock from Erie Insurance. Gives you a great rate that stays put until you change a car, driver, or your address. Plus, seriously good service. Now that's something to smile about.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance. Get a quote at 217-356-2400.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Heads up, listeners, we've got a new website. Introducing the all-new StevieJ.com, your one-stop shop for podcasts, advertising info, staff bios, Stever links, community calendars, and more. If you're a regular visitor to any of our station sites, be sure to visit the new StevieJay.com. Each station has their own tab chock full of show information. So again, if you're looking for ESPNCU, Q96, US1059, or Christian FM 95.3, you can now find them all on under one roof at the new StevieJay.com.
Hey, it's Stevie J. Like many, I knew all about Game Day Spirits Illini gear, but I wasn't so knowledgeable about the corporate apparel they do. But they do really great work. I've had some shirts done, and some of my employees have too. They're very high quality and perfect for your business or organization. If you need something in the summer, need something in the winter, Game Day Spirit does custom screen printing and embroidery for every season or style. From blue collar to the boardroom, they have you covered with corporate apparel. Get a quote. Email sales at gamedayspirit.com and you'll be pleased.
One in four batteries in America needs changed. Is that yours? There's only one way to tell. Go to Interstate All Battery Center on Madison and they will get you tested. No appointment needed. If your battery is over 4 years old, you're in danger. Don't be left on the side of the road on your way to work or that special event. Interstate Battery is your protector from bad power. There are three ways to get in contact with them. Go to Interstate All Battery Center on Madison. head to their website at interstatebatteries.com or give them a call at 217-355-4855.
Bad hair day? Bad day at the office? Bad day behind the wheel? Hey, stuff happens, even to the best of us. At least your car insurance rate doesn't have to take a hit. Get Erie Rate Lock from Erie Insurance. Gives you a great rate that stays put until you change a car, driver, or your address. Plus, seriously good service. Now that's something to smile about.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Deller's Insurance. Get a quote at 217-356-2400.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Are you at your best when the whistle blows? With Carl Sports Medicine, you can jump higher, run faster, and be on your game every time. Take advantage of our professional athletic training services, plus injury prevention, and free sports medicine walk-in clinics with injury experts. Get ready to reach your personal best. Visit carl.org/sportsmedicine or call 217-383-9400. Carl, official medical provider of Fighting Illini Athletics.
Patience has its place. If you turn on the water first, let it warm up before jumping in the shower, that's smart.
Ah, it's cold!
Waiting until your house is sold to get your moving estimate, that's not a wise decision. Lead time for summer moves can be up to 8 weeks. Planning on moving this summer? Contact 2 Minute a Truck right now, even if you haven't sold your home. Professional estimators with professional moving solutions. TwoMenChampaign.com. That's a smart move.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It's been a yelling match with Colleen.
Did you win?
No.
Okay.
No. So I just told Trevor that I ran outside to grab my phone. I left my phone in my car for the sole purpose of charging it. And I went out there to get it, and it wasn't even being charged. I'm like, Lon, really? You're that idiotic. I'm that guy. All right, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper Latte, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. All right, we're going to have some fun with this. Derek Piper for IlliniEnquirer.com. Ding. You finished up the season for the Fighting Illini basketball team.
I did.
So did you...
Checked it out.
Did you sit down and do like on a computer and run the game? Or this was just in your... Excuse me, in
how
your
I
mind.
Saw it, yep.
Yeah, okay. How you saw
with
it.
With the KenPom stats, okay. Matchups.
So let's start with game one. Who did Illinois play in the Big Ten tournament?
Iowa.
Okay.
I mean, we filled out the bracket here on the show. I think Trevor had Minnesota. I just felt like,
yeah,
come on, Iowa's not going to miss out on the chance to see you one more time.
No. So let me ask you this. Who won that game?
Illinois.
Illinois won the game.
The toss up was a really close game. I think Illinois, in the second half, once they started to guard the three-point line,
yes,
showed that they were able to keep pace with Iowa, who doesn't play a whole lot of defense, up and down game. Iowa got going. Kofi held his own inside. As long as he's not in foul trouble against Garza,
amen,
he was able to do some things for you. That's a nightmarish matchup when he's out there and you have Georgia against him. But I did say Illinois wins that game 77-73.
Okay.
And that CJ Frederick gets some much needed social distancing.
Yeah. Well,
he was unhappy.
Were you surprised that there weren't more fireworks in that game? I know both coaching staff said, guys, okay, Illinois, you got what you needed back. Now we're all going to play nice again. And they kind of did. They kind of played nice.
Except for the 4 techs on one play. after that, they're all right, I think.
Well, that was fun. Okay, so then they're going to play who next in the Big Ten tournament?
Wisconsin, the 1 seed. Wisconsin would have had to beat the winner of Michigan and Rutgers. But Illinois seeing Wisconsin again, I don't hate the matchup because inside you have, I think, an advantage with Kofi against Reavers. Your guards are more athletic and quick,
right,
with Io, Trent,
right,
and Felice. And then the one thing that concerns me is Micah Potter.
He Potter.
Potter against...
Drove his car.
to end Georgie or DeMonte or whatever you have going at the four. Yeah. He's a darn good player.
Trevor's got to interact right now because we've got some news. And then we're going to get back to this.
Tom Brady's a Buccaneer.
What?
Yep. According to Adam Schefter, barring an unexpected turn of events, Tom Brady will sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Bruce Arians, man. How about his Christmas card list? That's a solid list right there. You're going to eat dinner. I'm going to let you go.
Thank you. I'm going to listen, though.
We're going to continue to go here.
To hear this.
All right, so Wisconsin, Illinois plays Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Derek, I know this game ended, and you're going to tell us if it was good or bad for Illinois, but, you know, going into this game, Illinois finally kind of exercised the demon of beating Wisconsin. How much did that play into going into this game Saturday?
It was part of it, and then just the fact that Illinois was going against the fact you're playing in the Kohl Center.
Yeah.
And also the way the game was refereed. It seemed like it was the second half and fouls starting to rack up. Wisconsin going to the free throw line. I was like, man, Illinois played really well tonight, yep, but probably not going to happen. And then, yeah, again, Io against that Wisconsin backcourt. I think he's definitely the best player on the floor.
Huge.
I think Illinois gets it done. And I think you catch a break not seeing Maryland and Michigan State until the title.
Well, and now you get to the championship, of course. We're looking back, essentially, and this is how Derek Piper had it in his head about how Illinois finished the season. But we're going to do this in now time, in present time. So I'm going to ask you questions about the game that happened. How excited was this team after that game, though, to know they're playing in the Big Ten championship game? Did it validate a little bit of what their season was? Is that kind of what they were saying Saturday night?
Yeah, I think so. It takes them to another level as far as the national stage, and now you're talked about as a no doubt 6 seed, maybe a 5 seed, and then of course if you win the whole dang thing and you beat Michigan State,
right,
who's a 2 seed, and you only lost to them by one in Champaign, that would be the best win on your resume up to this date. So you're in the title game first time since 2008.
That's incredible.
Which is crazy to think about, but national televised game, the game to watch before Selection Sunday. Yes. Pretty exciting.
Well, and unfortunately, we've seen too many times where Illinois makes a run in the Big Ten tournament. They get to the final, and it seems to always end not the best against the green and white of Spartans. So how did this one end on Sunday?
Sparty won.
Ah.
Sparty's too tough. I just think that they were, and they showed you, that they were hitting a gear that not a lot of other people had. They didn't show it over the course of a full season, but when Rocket Watts came on as that third piece next to Winston and Tillman, they were a load to deal with offensively, and then they were the number one team in the Big Ten in defensive efficiency. So I had Michigan State 81, Illinois 71.
Well, and listen, I mean, you lose to this team. You lose to a Michigan State team that for years, and there's no secret about it. Tom Izzo gets his team ready in March. Rocket Watts now is a guy that's going to replace Cassius Winston, and here they are set again for the next 2 or 3 years. But I don't know if Rocket Watts, the guy's going to go to the NBA early. He could, but he may be another Cassius that's there for 3 more years. You got to deal with that. But I just think for this Illinois team going into the tournament, to be able to get to the championship game validates exactly what they were able to do on the floor. And now, like you said, it sets them up for a better seed in the NCAA. So when Sunday night rolled around, you guys were still in Indy for this.
We were. Of course we were.
Well, of course you were.
We were.
So how did the seeding come out for Illinois? Projected to be a 7 when the Big Ten tournament started. You get to the finale. How did it help them come NCAA tournament time?
Well, gave them 8 quad 1 wins.
Nice.
So by beating, you went in with 6, Iowa and then Wisconsin, and then losing to Michigan State, you were 8-9 in quad 1 games, which is pretty decent.
That's good.
You do have the 2 losses, the quad 3 loss at home to Miami, the quad 2 to Missouri. That knocked you down a little bit. A weak strength of schedule in the non-con. I had Illinois, or Illinois did come out. I keep saying I had, you know.
Yeah, no.
To play along.
Well, yeah, play along.
6 seed in the Midwest.
This is not easy to do, Trevor. This is not easy.
Hey, it was just great to see Trent break out of his slump.
Yes, right? That was huge. In fact, we could go through Trevor's scenario as well later.
No, that was purely in
that was hilarious. I mean, they were winning games. What was the one game Trent finally got out of it? He had like 58?
Yeah.
Had like 58
pretty good,
points.
Pretty good performance. He went 14 for 14 from deep. Couldn't miss.
Well, Davison, I mean, did he get
he
corona?
Got ejected after 9
he got
flop warnings.
Ejected.
9 flop warnings.
Iowa got yeah. the virus. He was
yeah, yeah, I think that's I true.
It was Pritzel.
Pritzel.
Oh. Pritzel was out with COVID-19, and that helped.
Okay.
The day before, both Fran and Connor got ejected within 30 seconds of the game starting.
That's needed.
So that definitely helps as well. Needed.
So that was Trevor's scenario in the Big Ten, but we actually won the Big Ten final in Trevor's scenario.
Did we?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, that's I think
right.
so. Yeah, right. You can call me. Sal said Hans would not approve Derek's loss to Michigan State.
I know.
So we get to the NCAA tournament. This is how Derek saw it through his eyes. Illinois is a 6th seed. Where do we go, and who did we play?
Playing in Greensboro.
Oh.
Against the 11-seeded Cincinnati Bearcats.
Okay, I know Greensboro then. That must mean that the 3-seed is Duke. Mm.
Good okay. foresight. There.
So we're playing Cincinnati. Now, we've had some success against Cincinnati in the NCAA tournament in front of Nick Lachey back in the day over at Indy. So we leave Indy to go to Greensboro to play Nick Lachey's squad at Cincinnati. How did that go?
Pretty well.
Okay.
Physical game, Cincinnati.
Yeah, they're big.
Big, physical, inside. Jerron Cumberland's a very good player. Veteran guard who can score, but you're really able to corral him. Cincinnati's a team that turns the ball over. And, of course, Illinois, they don't run as much this year.
Right,
but when they get the opportunity, they're pretty dangerous. So they turn over Cincinnati, hold them down defensively. Io gets out on the break. Allen hits some threes. Illinois 72, Cincinnati 60.
You know, the credit I give to this team that hasn't been in an NCAA tournament in 6 years, the credit to them was they came out strong against Cincinnati. Derek, I didn't feel like the nerves you would think would be pretty high. I don't feel like they showed that against Cincinnati.
No, I don't think so. And again, it's a team that is very comfortable playing away from home. So not playing on their home floor,
that helps.
Showed you playing in road environments throughout the league. And again, this is born and bred through the Big Ten versus, look, there's some other good leagues out there, but
yeah.
Not at that level, the American for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Just too much. They overwhelmed them.
So you win at Wisconsin. You win at Purdue. You win at Michigan. There's others. You win at Penn State. Now you basically have to play Duke at home in Greensboro.
Is that the matchup?
Duke and Illinois.
The 3-seed.
Yeah. How did this one end?
It was a heck of a interior battle between Kofi and Vernon Carey.
I like the way you're going.
Two freshmen that are outstanding. And listen, the fans not being there played a big role.
Yeah, that's true.
The fans were not there, so they weren't able to kind of sway the refs as much.
Uh-huh.
So Kofi was able to stay on the floor. And Duke plays the fastest pace in the ACC, one of the fastest college basketball, got up and down, didn't bother Io at all.
Nice.
Didn't bother Felice, who was taking Trey Jones to the cup.
That's sweet.
Illinois, 78, Duke, 73. Everything is awesome. The year to get Duke. They had lost to NC State. They lost to a bad Wake Forest team. And
I think Coach K's hip is flaring up.
Yeah, it's flaring up. I got to say this. So after that game, Brad Underwood does a pretty good job of showing some excitement, but he also contains it. He was excited after that win.
Yeah, can you believe he took his shirt off?
I can't know. I mean.
Like they pour the water on him.
Antigua's look. He's looking at Brad Underwood going, dude, if I took my shirt off, it'd be one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I look pretty good. You need to keep your shirt on.
Whitman was still there hugging him.
Yeah, I just kept.
Even shirtless, he was still bear hugging Brad. It was odd.
You're not supposed, separation here. Social distancing.
Fletch was a little embarrassed.
Yes.
Bodies by Fletch took a hit today.
First Anthony Higgs, now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Brad's going to kill me.
So now, this is fun. All right, so then Illinois went to the Sweet 16. Where and against whom?
It's an Indy.
Oh!
It's an Indy.
That's where the crowd would have helped.
The 2-seed Creighton.
Hmm.
Yes. Very hot shooting Creighton.
Hmm.
Shot 40% from three in Big East play.
Wow.
They're dangerous.
Well,
they play small ball, too.
And we talked about it right here on the show. We talked an entire week about Creighton's not a bad matchup because Illinois can guard the three.
Yeah, they have.
Did they guard the three?
They gave up more than 10 threes, which Creighton coming into this game was 16-1 when they hit at least 10 threes. But that's what they do. They shoot a ton of them. But their big dude's 6'7".
Oh,
Kofi, 15 points, 15 rebounds.
Oh,
Georgie,
wow.
Some flashes of his freshman year.
Okay.
Feeding it inside. And then while Creighton got it going from three, Trent finally broke out, hit 5-3, stepped up.
That's huge.
Illinois 85, Creighton 79.
Holy cow! Illinois gets to the Elite Eight.
Yes.
I wish
this is depressing.
This was on a Friday. This was Friday. I wish we would have had a show before the next game. I was going to ask you so many questions about getting to the final or the Elite Eight, beating the Creighton team, Trent showing up. Who does Illinois end up playing though on Sunday?
You would want to talk about it because it's Kansas. One seed Kansas.
Tell me it didn't
Bill
end.
Bill Self versus Illinois in Indy.
Oh.
And the fact that the fans weren't allowed to go.
How did it end up?
You're going to cut me off. Man, it would have been a top-notch environment.
Oh, I don't like the would have been.
Tough game. Oh. Two very good defensive teams. Marcus Garrett's the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Him and the Jayhawks just focusing in on Io. Illinois didn't have enough. 66.
Hi, I'm Ryan, one of the owners at CU Under Construction and CU Trade Services.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.